What?
Minchsoft.
Let me translate.
Please.
Yes, I'm like, what the hell?
Monkey art.
What?
That didn't help.
Monkey art? Or
Monk yard.
Okay, Monk Yard. Is that the name of the brewery?
It's the name of the beer.
Oh, that doesn't help us at all.
Beery has a different name, but exactly now. There's a produce different beer of other... The different name, but I prefer this kind of... this sort overall.
Okay. Corey, you ready to make the magic happen and start recording?
Oh, the magic's already happening. The moment he started trying to pronounce German beers.
Oh, God. I got a gift, and my gift came from some good friends of mine, and they got me Barefoot Moscato Deliciously Sweet.
Oh, yes. That's the good stuff. Now, that's at 12% alcohol by volume, unlike your Arbor Mist, which will get you shit-faced a little bit faster.
This is 750 milliliters.
Okay, so almost a pint.
Yep.
So wait, hang on. I think that's a pint and a half.
I don't have a fucking clue. I'm not doing math right now. If you wanted a math griff, you should have hired someone else.
Well, who's on payroll?
I have a draconic assistant that's good at math.
Okay, so yes, that is a pint and a half.
Oh, would you look at that. That medical professional knowledge came in handy.
It's called Google.
To clarify, I'm a bit speechless now when you said that we are already in the recording. Oh, damn. I didn't expect that.
Suddenly you have a little bit of microphone shyness, huh?
Sounds like, yeah. Sounds like the plan has changed.
Buzz, the plane.
The plane.
Crashing. There's no reason.
Oh, shit.
There's no reason to get uptight or nervous. It's just a couple of burbs sitting around the nest.
I'm totally okay. I have my chocolate here, my cola. Everything's fine. Delicious chocolate.
Yeah, we gave up one German in favor of another one. This one seems to be a lot more hyper.
Yeah.
Yeah. My mouth full of chocolate.
And this one also seems to prefer chocolate over booze. I don't know how I feel about this, because I love chocolate on the one talon. But on the other talon, I love booze.
That's okay. So long as chocolate actually has the same effect on him as booze does Fleeks, we're good. And it seems
to. You need to eat 7 kilograms of chocolate in 1 hour to get a heart attack, so...
Is that, like, a goal for you?
Maybe.
Oh, wow.
Because I absolutely adore chocolate. And I may be 30% chocolate and 10% butter, and the rest is bird.
You were born in the right country for good chocolate. Holy shit. We've talked about it in past episodes. I've been trying to get Fleeks to actually like ship me some Kinder eggs. I recently found out that it is actually a $2,500 fine in the U.S. per Kinder egg if they catch you.
So let them ship to you and not get caught.
But how do I get through the backscatter machines, man?
Well, here, you have them ship it to you during a rush period when things are busy, because the chances of customs catching it are very low. And then you claim ignorance and say, hey, I didn't know what he was shipping me. It was a gift.
I thought it was beer.
Yeah, I know. What the hell, right?
Car?
Yes.
I could tease you and tell you that I could go into my kitchen and get some Kinder eggs.
And then you'd eat Kinder eggs in front of
you. You will never see.
You'd have to describe exactly what the toy is as you put it together.
Well, it's mostly shit.
I know, there's just, little toys.
I just love the chocolate and throw the toy away because, what do you want with it?
Oh, good lord.
Don't they make a version of Kinder eggs that don't have toys for the U.S. market, or no?
No.
Well, when you have the luxury to throw the toy away.
Actually, no, they do actually have chocolate bars with, I think, like a nougat and caramel filling by the same company that makes them. but it's just not the same. It's just not pure German chocolate.
So why are they illegal here? Because Americans are too stupid and would swallow the toy?
Because the toys cannot physically be inside food, as it's a choking hazard to American children. So America's way, we do actually have a version of the Kinder Egg that is really subpar in comparison, as far as quality goes, where just a little piece of the toy sticks out of the chocolate. That way it's not technically inside.
That's so ridiculous, please.
It's super ridiculous.
And when I talk of ridiculous, I found out that I have a few favorite words in English and in German.
Oh?
And one of the favorite words in English is, think of ridiculous. I don't know why, but ridiculous just sounds ridiculous. Oh, look at this. Ridiculous. Why? And one German word is, hold your seat, Verpackungspapier.
You're going to have to say that again.
Verpackungspapier.
German.
Pferde? Pferde.
Is this the name of the German Department of Revenue or something?
It's packing paper.
This is what we get for having a very hyperactive, sugar-high German bird on the show.
You mean Paris?
Just two Americans just trying to comprehend everything you're saying.
And that's failing. Just me. Well,
oh my God.
Anyways, this is episode 13 of Bird Life. I'm Cor. Joining me is Storm and Fetty, I guess.
Hello. No. I am your mama's favorite lover.
He's Princess Storm.
I have, Cora, I have a little introduction, if I could add it.
Yes.
Oh, man, it's raining again. What could I do today now? Well, Patrick, why don't you just stay at home, turn on the PC, and do something productive today? Wait, what? Who are you? Did you ever listen to a podcast? What? No. What's a podcast? Oh, God, Patrick, you missed so much. So get your ass on a PC and listen to Bird Life Podcast. Yeah, you've heard correctly. Excellent question, Patrick. The Bird Life Podcast is brilliant and properly adjusted for your sensitive ears. Hosts Cor, Storm, and Fleeks, who isn't here today, are talking about everything and birds. Right, because you don't need everything, you only need birds. So what are you waiting for? Take a seat and listen to the amazing, sensational, beepy Bird Life Podcast. Bird Podcast. Wow.
That should become our new intro.
I think it should. Somebody has given this kid way too much sugar. Legitimately.
Oh my God, I love it.
I have sugar in my blood.
Yes, you do. It's called diabetes.
I love it. You got a case of the diabetes, son. Paula Deen would be proud.
No, Paula Deen's specialty is butter.
Oh, did you see she released a diet cookbook recently?
She did, and it's literally all of her previous recipes with significantly less butter. I'm not joking. I looked it up.
My heart is racing, though, because I brilliantly failed.
No, you brilliantly succeeded is what you did.
You took it to a place that I was not expecting. That was fantastic.
Thank you.
All right, so, all said and done, I do want to ask. So, Fetty, how did you end up joining the Birdanian Empire? And we've lost him, ladies and gentlemen. Or I guess, how did you join the furry fandom, and then how did you find the Birdanian Empire?
Everything began in 2012. I just watched the movie, you know, it's Rio.
Oh, God. That's weird. At least it wasn't the Angry Birds movie. We can be that.
At least it wasn't Birdemic.
I don't say anything against Rio. I loved it. Movie. A few years later, I realized there's something. I became a bird. I just realized I am a bird. A few years later, 2040, a friend told me there's a page on the internet called Furbase, the German furry community. Actually, 2014, I joined DeviantArt, or DeviantArt, I don't know how to pronounce it.
Right.
And got friends with my very first bird.
And who was that?
I still know him. It's Samfeed Blueheart.
Ah.
It's a bird from the Philippines. And yeah, I was inactive for 2 years because I didn't know what I should draw and how I should join in the fandom. Or maybe my interest wasn't that big. I think it was this. But 2015 became a special year for me because I felt pretty sure that I'm a parrot and started to create different versions of my sona. And I came to an end, which is my sona today. And
which is indeed the blue Fetty.
Yes, the blue macaw. Of course, I changed some bits of it over the years, like the coloring on the tips of my wings or the design of my beak to make it more fitting and perfect for me.
Nice.
And then 2015, I joined what is said the Furbase community, German furry fandom, furry community page. So, 3 months later, I joined the Telegram group, and now I joined the German Telegram group from the page of the Furbase page, and yeah, I was there and for a few. I was actually. At this time, I was in Poland, and I wasn't very active in the group. But then one special person, wrote something. It was Jay, who's now my macaw brother.
Oh, nice.
Aw, that's wonderful.
Which I didn't know at the moment. And, yeah, he talked about a bird crew. And I went, what? The bird crew? What's that? And he told me, well, it's a chat for birds, only. And then it happened. I joined.
And here he is today.
And you passed the bird test and became
the horror of the flock.
The whore. Yes, that's how we review being a member of our flock. You joined the whore. Oh!
Horror. Horror.
Horror.
As far as whores in the group go, Storm, I think you're probably the only one.
I ain't no whore. I'm a breeder.
All right. Well, one thing I wanted to ask this week was, we've mentioned notable like bird fursuiters and stuff like that, but fursuiting in the fandom in general, I guess, like what your guys' take on it is, and you know, kind of if you guys want to get a suit, and if so, kind of like what it is you would be looking for in a suit.
Awesome. I love this topic.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Go for it.
And for me. Let's see. I've had a love-hate relationship with fursuits. Let me explain. From the outside, from the person viewing the fursuit, it's fantastic. Especially if the suit's well-made or something you made yourself with pride. Because if you made it yourself with pride, who gives a shit what someone else thinks? It's your suit. Be proud of it. But when you're out and you're dancing, you're having a good time, it's for the enjoyment of others. When you're in the suit, it's essentially you're wearing shag carpeting, running around the con, sweating to death.
Oh, yes.
There is cooling systems, cooling vests, etc., that help make it a little more enjoyable. So for a long, long time, I was someone that admired fursuits, but never would get one because I get hot easily. But now that I've lost a lot of weight and now I get cold easily, the idea is starting to appeal to me. Anyone that knows my Griffin character and understands I have got beak ridges and big wings and all these other challenges, understands that if I were to get a suit, and I do plan on getting one one day with a cooling system, that it's going to be a challenge. But as time goes on, I'm thinking I might go ahead and do it and possibly maybe get little cutesy little wings on the back and then a big backpack system for the big ones when I want to do the Parade of Death or something.
Aw, Storm will have little tiny angel wings.
Yeah, yeah, I know. Even you know, the muscular stud Griff gotta silly it up once in a while and be all cute. But also, I have glasses, so I'd have to rig it up a system in the head to where my glasses don't fog up, and that is a challenge for people with glasses and fursuits. It's not impossible to overcome.
Can't you just put something like Rain-X on, like, a pair of glasses?
Sunglasses have anti-fog stuff you can get for them, but the inside of a fursuit head gets so damn hot that unless you have a ventilation system that pulls fresh air in and vents it out the back of the head, either using the ears or some other hidden vents so that way air's flowing through to keep your lenses clear, you're going to fog up regardless of what you do. And that's why a lot of fursuiters that love doing it either get contacts or they will... I know one that got LASIK just so he could fursuit without his glasses anymore. Another Griffin named Lost. And hey, you know, if you love it, it's your passion, go for it. Like I said, from watching fursuits, I think it's fantastic. I love the art form. It is a very expensive thing to get into. A cheap fursuit, quote unquote, unless you make it yourself, starts at $1,200 to get an avian fursuit. You're looking at $2,000 to $4,000 and up. So it can be a very pricey hobby. I think it's a lot of fun.
I think overall with the, not invention, but I guess the creation of the masks, the pre-made masks and stuff like that, that does actually knock the price back down to kind of regular fursuit prices at that point, because it's no longer a pain in the ass to make a resin mold to, I guess, kind of start from scratch, as it were, to create a beak.
Hmm. Well, that would work for most birds, but I've got a unique beak.
That is true. You have weird ridges on your beak that would make you get stuck in your food.
The beak ridges, the story behind those were they were carved in by a dragon many years ago, and they just continue to be there. And even though the beak keeps growing, more ridges appear. And so as a result, it makes me unique and special and is very good for nuzzling.
And poking your partner's eye.
And poking your partner's eye. Exactly. That's, you know, the priority. And I also, you know, with fursuits, I like all aspects of fursuiting, everything from the fact that you go to community events, et cetera, you can perform entertainment, bring a smile to a child's face, et cetera. And this fandom, there are also people that, you know, use it for adult activities. Personally, I don't see a problem with that anyway, because I think that can be fun too. Now, as long as
I mean,
you
if you're going to spend $1,200, you get to decide how you're going to use your $1,200. A lot of people tend to look down on it. I personally am not a fan of if you wear your then used suit out into a con, don't do that. It should be a personal use thing after that. But otherwise, I think it's fine.
Right. I mean, people, my attitude on that is if there are people, especially at cons, that go and get jiggy with it in their regular street clothes and then go out to the con floor. So as long as your suit's reasonably clean, that's fine.
And no, you clean up afterwards, and I don't wear a fursuit that you've done things in with, because you can't wash a fursuit like you can clothes. Fetty, it sounded like you spilled a bag of chips back there. You doing okay?
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. So what's your take on fursuits in the fandom then?
It just made a mess, and a few Cheetos fell on the ground. But I'm okay.
Some Cheetos?
The last thing I want to say while you're composing your thoughts real quick, just to finish my little spiel, and this, when it comes to that adult, I personally am of the opinion that if you use your suit for adult things, you should not interact with children with it. There should be a line.
Sorry to keep interrupting. It's just I don't even want, like, someone who's done that in a suit to touch me.
If you have that feeling, I guarantee you, you've already hugged fursuiters that have done things.
Quite frankly, I don't hug fursuiters simply because of that. Okay. I'm being honest. I actually, like, I'll admire the fursuit, but out of the paranoia's sake of that, I've never touched, like, a fursuit that I didn't know was clean.
Fair enough. Just think about the child would note it. That you, however, the child would note it, that you had, that you did something suit, something lewd. Mm-hmm. And just thinking about it, that a child touches your suit. Oh my God, this is disgusting.
Yeah, I agree.
So what is your feeling of fursuiting in general then?
And would you get one? What kind of features would your suit have?
A few years ago, I didn't want one. I just saw fursuiters and thought, oh cool, but that's nothing for me. Then it recently changed. My opinion went to, maybe. And then to, okay, cool. Maybe in the future. And now I'm pretty sure that I want one. I'm particularly partial. Because I don't know full suits. I don't know. I don't like full suits. I personally prefer partials for my character. Because I have my red hoodie here in real life. And it would fit more to a partial than a full suit. And yes, and it's cheaper.
Yeah, a partial does indeed save some money. That's true.
And they're more comfortable, too. You can still create the full effect while, you know, saving some money and not overheating as much.
Just, I find it more fitting for my character, as I said. And
Fetty, does your bird self wear clothes and your art and stuff?
As Feral, yes, a hoodie. You know it on my pictures, like on my icon right now. And as an Anfru, of course, shirt, trousers, and even shoes sometimes.
Okay.
Depends on situation, because in my world, you generally don't wear shoes, but like for snow regions, cold regions, or whoever ever you would on a volcano, you need shoes.
That is true. Especially if there's spiky twigs and stuff on the ground.
Oh, yeah.
Unless
you have proper talons. But go ahead.
Oh, sorry.
Or if you want to walk on glass shards. But it's another story.
Walking on broken glass.
Walking on glass shards.
Oh, my God.
Walking on glass shards.
Yes, you've joined a podcast where you have at least two birds who like to sing. And only one of them is capable of singing. And that is not me.
Then it's Storm.
Yeah, totally.
Storm, sing something.
Rock your world. Oh, not yeah. Okay, let's hand it over to Court. Okay.
Okay. So
Fleek's
I was just gonna say, I've never actually considered getting like a fursuit for Core Raven. I think the idea would be neat, but I kind of want to create something that's like original and unique. A little while back, you may have seen ACII and Abraxas come out, two relatively identical fursuits with expressions, with like a digital LED display for a face, and they'd be able to have expressions and stuff like that. I fell in love with that idea, and if I was to get a suit done, it would be something unique like that, that I could actually show emotions, show, and you know, actually be able to interact with the audience a little bit in, you know, some ways. As far as a core suit goes, I mean, if I was to get one done, it would pretty much be a mock-up of the character. So I would have the head and then the arms. Probably no torso, but I would have, like, leg pieces. And over the torso would just be a really really baggy hoodie. Because, I mean, that's kind of what core already wears.
A core suit.
Suit? You both are lucky with your hoodies and stuff. Storm, I typically get Storm depicted either wearing a loincloth, because he's got a more tribal feel to him, or shorts. So I can't get away with as easily wearing a hoodie or, you know, a shirt or something. So y'all are lucky.
A funny thing. Core suit. A suit with a core in its core.
Oh, God.
You know the movie The Inner Core?
No, I don't.
Ah, sad. Well, every time I see your name, I have to think of the movie. Core, the inner core.
Oh, whenever you guys start talking about movies, I can't help but think about that wonderful piece of that wonderful artistic Burdanian masterpiece we had to sit through as part of Fleek's mandatory propaganda training.
And you know what? I'm actually kind of glad that we don't necessarily have to talk about Birdemic this week because he's not here. Because to be completely honest, I dipped out after half an hour. I couldn't do it. I hated it. It was bad.
I watched the whole thing with him from beginning to end, and if anyone was in the Bird Crew chat that day, you would know because I was just making fun of the film the entire time in the main chat. But oh my gosh, I have never seen Birds animated so poorly.
It was like he took animated GIFs and stuck them in a feature film.
Literally, you saw a flock of birds flying away with half of them not even flapping their wings, and then they just stopped in the sky and didn't move anymore, and they just acted like they were still flying away.
Didn't we want to not talk about it?
Yeah, well, I want to not talk about it.
Well, the funny thing, I watched the best scenes, and I think that Fleeks is now hating me because I was honest with my opinion. Because I said that I don't like it. And Fleeks shouted at me.
Aw, here, come in. I'll give you a big old hug. You don't need to be shouted at. You're too nice for that.
Yeah, that's okay. We don't need to worry about Fleeks this week. He's already tortured us, and he's somehow not here.
So we can talk about him.
We can talk about him behind his back.
I'm not mad at you. I'm not mad at you. I'm just mad at you. No, I'm not mad at you.
Fleeks, what has been seen cannot be unseen, and it's all your fault.
And this whole circumstance cannot be forgiven.
Yes. And after all, remember, folks, when there is an invasion of attacking bloody eagles and other birds coming to your community, that is the best time to have a picnic with your family outdoors. Things learned from Birdemic.
How can you shoot 50 times and not hit?
That's one fucking bird.
They hired stormtroopers.
I mean, when I watched the movie, it was so cringy for the peeps who had to act in the movie.
Yeah, I would. If I was an actor, I would not include that on my acting resume. That would not be mentioned in my portrait and headshot.
Only for $1 million.
You know how they got that movie published? The director, because he tried to submit it to the film festivals and they told him to go, you know, fuck off. He took a van and on the side of it, he put a bunch of dead birds and wrote Birdemic. And then he couldn't even spell that right. So the movie name was misspelled and he drove around Hollywood until a studio saw it and said, oh, fuck it. Well, I guess we'll publish it.
Okay. And I thought they put the movie in a letter and sent it to the American population.
I kind of would have just thought that they just kind of put it on the internet and like self-published because it was that bad that it could not have sold anything.
Hey, look at this. That's the best movie. Look at. Watch. Here. And everyone's so, no, it's not good. Yes, so, it's great. No.
So, Feedy and Core, these questions for both of you, but I'll start with you, Feedy. What is some other god-awful movies you've seen?
Awful
movie. Yeah, bad movies. Awful. Just really bad.
Corey, you could answer the question first, because I have to look.
Okay, so while he's actually going and grabbing that, a few months back, I actually went and tried to work my way through IMDb's worst movies of all time. The worst movie of all time being rated as Manos and the Hands of Fate. It was actually better than Birdemic. I'm not kidding you. The only way I was able to get through Manos and the Hands of Fate, though, was through the fortunate fact that Mystery Science Theater 3000 actually had a feature where they watched the movie. And that made it quite a bit better. I don't even think that Mystery Science Theater could do anything with Birdemic. It was just so bad, so cringeworthy, and so...
I think we did a pretty good job MST3K-ing that movie and the Bird Crew. Because I... Literally, I made fun of everything. It was like a bad porno.
Fair enough.
Complete with bad computer sound effects.
So, like, besides Manos in the Hands of Fate, I also watched Three-Headed Shark Attack, which was also, it felt like a movie that someone just kind of, like, had on their personal camera. And they spent probably roughly, like, $4,000 in, you know, somewhat quality editing for the first 30 minutes of the film. And then it just takes a steep dive in quality. However, it does have one saving grace. And that is, it has Danny Trejo in it. He is a Spanish action movie star. He's been in quite a few movies, probably most notably Machete.
Machete.
Ooh, yes. I love that guy.
So that's who Danny Trejo is. And he was in this film for probably all of 5 minutes in combined total. Most of it was him driving a boat to get to the kids who are running away from the three-headed shark. And then he proceeds to chop off one of the heads of the shark, and then another one grows back and eats him. So the movie kind of lost all favorite points after they killed Danny Trejo.
Okay, I've made a choice.
Okay.
Okay.
Gotcha. It's the parody, The Turkey of Panem, The Starving Games. And it actually is a comedy, but in such a bad way. I mean, it's from the makers of... Where is it? Scary Movie.
And Matilda and...
But actually, Scary Movie. But actually, Scary Movie was way more better than this movie. And I bought it, and... Well... I regret it.
I can't believe Scary Movie actually got Dr. Phil to play Dr. Phil. That was pretty, pretty impressive.
So it's... There is a big market in the parody films, especially after big movies like that come out. Scary Movie is probably the most notable one. So what made that movie so bad in particular?
The turkey.
The turkey?
The turkey.
The cornucopia in the middle, or... Because I haven't seen it. You have to kind of describe it.
It's been a long time now since I watched the movie, but I remember that the puns were very not funny.
Well, puns usually aren't.
Jokes. Jokes.
Mm-hmm.
Puns. What the hell am I thinking? Yeah, the jokes were really funny, and then I just can't really describe it. It was just too much of shit.
Too much of shit. Yeah, that's a good way to sum up some movies.
There's so much shit that I can't breathe anymore. I don't know what to say. Just start to cry.
There is therapy.
Yes, there's therapy. My favorite horrible movie that made me just think, what the hell were they thinking? Sharknado.
But that one was actually good in a bad way. That was like B-rate movie badness, but done right.
No, I'm sorry. That is beyond fucking ridiculous. Is what
that reminds me of another movie, of another tornado movie. Not Sharknado, but this one movie that recently came out, or 2 years ago, I don't know, was also about tornadoes, but it's so bad made. These animations and the story, the plot. What?
So the difference between like bad movie and B-rate movie. At least, kind of by definition, is the B-rate movies are ones that are, like, usually direct-to-TV, direct-to-DVD, or, like, sci-fi original movies. Pretty much every sci-fi original movie is a B-rate movie. And then bad movies, such as Birdemic and Three-Headed Shark Attack, is pretty much just the fact that they're not actually professionally done. B-rate movies, like Sharknado, were actually professionally done and completed with complete intention of, we know this is a bad movie, but we know it's going to sell because it's a bad movie, because people like Core Raven like to watch these movies.
Did you watch Sharknado 2?
No, actually I didn't.
I mean,
or
either.
3 or 4.
I just saw the trailers.
Sharknado was so... That's what amazed me, because I watched it thinking, who the hell would like this shit? And sci-fi had such amazing ratings off of this damn thing that they made 4 more. Or exactly. 3 more. Ridiculous.
I didn't want to watch the movie because the plot is that there are sharks and a tornado and what the hell?
And yeah, that's the brilliance of it, because it's obviously so off the wall and so stupid that there's like no actual, you know, it's not going to be a top movie. So you go into it with low expectations, and then the movie blows you away with just how bad it is in hilarity and in bad writing and bad acting, but in such a way that it's still done right. You know, it's kind of weird. There's a lot of movies out there like Zombievers and, what was it? Tire, the tire or something, where there's just a haunted tire that goes around killing people by rolling over them.
What?
And then, like I said, Zombievers, which is zombie beavers, which I'm sure the only reason that movie sold at all was because it had like a half naked woman on the front and the word beaver. But there is an art to B rate movies, and they do have to be appreciated.
I'm also not really happy about this new movie, this strange sausage party.
Oh, no.
When I saw the trailers, I just thought about... there are so many movies about things. They were okay. Cars. Planes. It's okay. It's on the border, but it's okay. And then Foot. Foot, which starts to revolt against... humans.
Yeah, I saw the commercials for that movie. It actually looks like something that would be amusing to watch. Not
because they don't want to get eaten. What the hell? Your foot? You're supposed to get eaten.
That's what makes it ridiculous.
Well, the whole premise of Sausage Party is the fact that it's just full of absolutely crude adult humor. It's not meant for kids. It's not a Disney Pixar like kind of thing.
That's true.
So, again, it has the demographic of we know the type of people who are going to watch this are adults who are going in to watch a movie with a bad plot, but we're going to win them over with our crude humor, that kind of thing.
And if you go at it with that mindset, makes sense.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, let's flip the coin on this, okay?
Okay.
Talk about awful movies for a little while here. Let's touch on... Amazing movies, especially of the recent variety. And I will say this, but there's only one movie in my life I've gone to the theater and seen five times. And that movie, for me, is Avatar.
Oh.
And Avatar is such a good movie to me, in my opinion. They're coming up with, I believe, three more part of the series.
The second part is up next year, I think.
Correct. This it's going to go out until 2020 is when the last blocked out movie is going to be for it, yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, to me, just something about the story and the graphics and the way they pulled it together was mesmerizing. What about you guys? What recent, I guess if we have to narrow it down a little bit, what recent film just really was like, God damn, this is an amazing movie.
Not Suicide Squad.
Don't. Please don't.
No. Just no.
Car, please.
Honestly, I watched Finding Dory just last weekend, and that movie was actually really... I didn't expect a sequel to be like so good. Like, I know it's Disney, I know it's Pixar, so you already have kind of high expectations going into it, but... just so much about that movie on its own just kind of hit home. It was like, that's just good. It's a good movie. Everything about it is just, it strikes you in your emotional feel goods, you know?
Well, Disney's on a roll. They are just recently with their movies, they are doing fantastic.
Well, it was more like Finding Dory, and I thought, there was Finding Nemo and then Finding Dory. How do they want to make a sequel? And I wasn't in it yet, so I can't say anything about it.
Okay, what movie would you like to watch?
The recent movie I watched was Rogue One.
Ooh,
but okay. The actual best movie for me, 2016, was wait a second, Fantastic Animals and How to Find Them.
Ooh, that was a really good movie.
Okay, yes.
And I absolutely loved it. That was so amazing. I didn't expect it to be that good. Because the effects, the animations, and the animals, oh my god, and the story is so beautiful.
I'm sorry, favorite
especially
scene
in the
movie?
End.
Favorite scene for me in that whole movie was them was when he opened up his suitcase for the first time and walked into it.
Yeah.
That was unbelievable.
I love the scene. I love the scene with the fat guy where he opened his suitcase and went down the stairs, and he went like, "Ah!" It was so good.
I haven't seen it yet,
and nobody knows what I'm talking
kind of
about.
Like, no, I haven't seen it yet, so I have to like kind of mentally check out to like not get spoilers. Sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's cool.
But
so,
no,
I want
to get prepared. I'm going to spoil you very, very hard. Oh, no, okay. No, actually not.
Oh, I was just going to say, I'm going to take my headphones off for a second then. Another movie. Okay, so by the way, it sounds as far as like some of the effects in that movie go, kind of reminds me of Doctor Strange, the new Marvel movie that just came out.
I still want to see that one.
Oh, definitely do. It is easily to date Marvel's best movie, and I mean, the special effects in it are absolutely incredible.
I love Marvel, and I love Marvel movies, and I absolutely adore Guardians of the Galaxy, and I also want to watch Doctor Who, but I have to wait for the Blu-ray.
Doctor Who?
Doctor Strange. God damn it, I mixed up with Doctor Who.
Now, don't get me wrong, I like Doctor Who too, but
yeah.
You know, I think we actually have a good accomplishment. We achieved something here today, and I don't know if you guys realize what we have just achieved. We have risen above and out of furry trash status because not one of us mentioned Zootopia, which in my opinion was easily the worst film of 2016 because it didn't feature one single goddamn bird in it.
Yes! Loads of birds! Goddamn it!
Apparently I struck a nerve.
I agree. There is a Zootopia 2 coming that's supposed to have some birds in it, and I think it's weird how it's Zootopia in the US and Canada and it's Zootropolis
everywhere
abroad.
Else. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fucking weird. But I'm sorry, it's just fucking weird. Come up with a name for it and stick with it. Damn it. But the story was not that bad. The animation was what did it, because it's really cute, and, you know, the bunny and the fox, I'm sorry. They made an adorable little couple, I thought. But, sorry, the lack of birds and the story, this is okay, but it could be better.
Now we're at the point where there is ungodly amounts of pornography about it. And that doesn't do it for me. I hate seeing, like, I really actually do dislike seeing, like, Disney characters or, like, you know, childhood characters. Like, even, I know this is a conversion for so many furries, but it's always annoyed me. But Robin Hood and Maid Marian, can't do it. Yeah. Doesn't touch for me. Like, it's kind of actually a turn off to see, like, children's characters portrayed in adult ways. It's uncomfortable for me.
Yeah, I've seen them. It was them and Bugs Bunny and Lola Bunny. That was some of the first furry pornography, if you want to call it that.
Oh, yeah, from Space Jam? Yep.
Yeah, and the artist Fat Alice, I don't even know if he's around anymore, did a piece with Marianne and Robin Hood that really was the first I ever saw. So I understand what you're saying. Rule 34 to me, when done right, can be very, very, very attractive. Just ask anyone in the cringeworthy My Little Pony community. Because the pony segment.
Just don't start with that.
Has its own porn section that's like, oh my God, you either love it or you hate it, depending on how much of the innocence you're into. But in general, you know, as with anything on the internet in general, you can rule 34 anything, including, you know, the legendary, you know, Trump. So it's crazy.
Yeah, no, thank you. Absolutely not.
For my part, I really don't enjoy Zootopia porn. And I've watched the movie in cinema and bought it on Blu-ray, but it's still unpacked. I never touched it again. The thing is, I'm more inspired by the architecture and how the world is made. Not by the story, not by the plot. I was more inspired by the city itself and the environment. And it helped me a lot to create my own stories.
They were very imaginative in how they created that entire universe.
Did either of you two see the movie? It went to TV, but I thought it was because it was a miniseries. Dinotopia.
Nope. What?
You look it up. You probably can find it online somewhere. But Dinotopia is that
Dinotopia. Way for me.
Yes, it's that way for me. Basically, okay. Humans crash landed on. Turns out it's this like dinosaur human utopia thing, and everyone gets along, and there's some problems, but for the most part, everyone gets along. And the story's not that bad, but for me, what did it for me was the same thing. The architecture of the cities they created where dinosaurs and humans coexisted. And the one city in particular was Waterfall City. And if you look up and Google images of Waterfall City and the thought the creators put into Waterfall City and how everything flows and how it's set up in the mountains, it's utterly gorgeous. And that's what Zootopia sort of reminded me of, in the same way that they put so much thought into how the quadrants would be with the different, you know, the cold weather animals would go here and the warm weather would go here and just how everything is sectioned out. It's fascinating. It really is. Speaks to the level of creativity these writers really have.
Yeah, definitely.
And I would really like to afford the art book of it.
Of Zootopia or of Dinotopia?
Of Zootopia.
Okay.
Okay.
So, all right, so do we want to move on? Because I have some games for us to play.
Yeah, I'm down for a couple of games, and I got a couple of questions. So, yeah, let's have some fun.
Okay. This is Storm's favorite game, Bug Bird or Bluff. You hate it. But everybody else loves it so much.
Well, I don't know if I love it. I'll test it out.
All right, Storm, I'm depending on you to show Feedy how it's done. Are you ready?
All right, you're going to have to pause for sex. I'll be back in a moment.
Pause for sex?
What?
I didn't know this was going to be this kind of show, but okay. Hi, Feedy. All right,
yes,
Storm.
Let's do the thing. Oh, no.
Bug?
Bad. Okay.
Bug? Bird or Bluff, Huntsman,
okay.
Racing Homer, Gentle Jockey.
Huntsman's a bug.
Correct.
Okay. Give me the other two, please.
Racing Homer, Gentle Jockey.
Racing Homer, Gentle Jockey. Racing Homer's a bird.
Correct. And Gentle Jockey is a Bluff.
I get it.
Oh my God. I can't believe I did it. Woohoo!
Again,
question, Cor.
Yes.
Were you referring to the huntsman spider?
Yes, I was.
Okay.
Just
they
to make
are
sure.
Nasty motherfuckers.
Yes, they are. All right, Feedy, do you think you understand it? Well, I'm going to throw you into the fray anyways. So, bug bird or bluff?
What is a bluff?
But a bluff is a lie. I'm making it up. So one of these is a bug,
okay,
one is a bird, one I'm making up.
Okay.
Will-O-Wisp, Parlor Roller, Brown Recluse, Bug, Bird, or Bluff?
Parlor. Will-O-Wisp, Parlor.
Parlor Roller.
No Googling.
Yeah, no Googling.
No, I'm not Googling. I wrote it on a paper. I'm not thinking about it.
Okay. He's taking his time. He's strategizing.
Parlor. Parlor Roller. Well, Wisp. Wisp. Will-O-Wisp?
Yes, Will-O-Wisp.
Is a buck.
Will-O-Wisp is a bluff.
A buck. I said a buck.
It's a bluff.
Oh, shit. Okay.
He was very adamant. No, it's a bug. Damn it, it's a bug.
Okay.
So, Parlor Roller, Brown Recluse. One is a bug, one is a bird. Parlor Roller, Brown Recluse.
I'd say Brown Recluse is a bird.
That's a bug.
God damn it.
It's okay, and Parlor Roller is a bird.
Yeah, Brown Recluse is the name of a very, very nasty spider in the U.S.
Which we don't have here, so...
Yeah, if you get bitten by a Brown Recluse and you don't get treatment, it can potentially cause the bite to rot.
Necrotizing fasciitis.
Oh, you turn into
so
a bird.
So delicious. All right, Storm.
Oh, yeah.
I've got another one for you. You can't escape. Giant Runt. Oonopidae. Griswold Weaver.
Griswold Weaver's a bird.
That is a bluff.
Okay.
Giant runt. Unapidae.
Unapidae is a bird.
Unapidae is another type of spider.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Did not know that.
Giant runt is a pigeon.
Interesting.
All right. Last one for you, Fetty. Are you ready for this?
Yep.
Okay. Ebo. Vortigaunt. Dragoon.
Ebo is a bird.
Ebo is a spider. So that leaves Vortigaunt and Dragoon.
Let me take a dice.
Okay.
When in doubt, gamble.
No, better a coin. Where's my coin? Oh, okay. Vortigaunt is a beard. Bird.
A beard.
Okay. It's a beard.
No, Vortigaunt is a bluff. Dragoon is also a type of pigeon.
That's all fault of the coin.
So Vortigaunt is actually the creatures in the Half-Life series. They're an alien species. I'm kind of disappointed neither of you know that.
And I played Half-Life.
So the theme this week was pigeons and spiders, and I'm actually kind of disappointed that Fleeks isn't here because he would have been absolutely losing his shit over the pigeons. And probably the spiders.
Yeah, but, you know, apparently Fleeks had a few too many last night and decided to Kerman and call in a German working holiday.
Fair enough.
So, right, y'all ready for a few questions?
Yes.
All right. This is the question for... First question comes from Sable Dracoon. The question is this. What is the exchange rate of dollars to beeps?
Virginia is a really great country. We've conquered a lot. We have a great history and some delicious seeds. So that makes the beep to dollar around 1 beep to 7.00689992 dollar.
So about $8 per beep, $7 per beep.
Yes.
Okay.
To me, because I completely agree with everything that Feedy just said, but in my opinion, based on my economics and calculations, 1 beep is equal to a little over 9,000 American dollars.
Of course.
Okay.
All right.
Poor tourists.
All right. Next question comes from Churros. The question is, what is your least favorite bird in your favorite category of birds?
What is your least favorite bird in your favorite category of birds? That's actually kind of difficult.
Oh, God.
Because if I was to go off on toucans, I don't know the specific subset species. I know that tocos are my favorite, but I don't know what my least favorite of that would be.
For me, eagles, I have a love-hate relationship with the... Australian Golden Eagles, I believe they're called. They're a fantastic bird, very intelligent, beautiful, but they're also downright evil.
Golden
so
Eagles?
I have a love-hate... Yeah, so I have a love-hate relationship with them. Aside from that, I don't really hate or dislike any eagles. So, what about you, Feedy?
What is the least fav of your favs? That's very difficult. There's so many birds in the world, and I don't know everyone. So, my brain just starts melting now.
So, if your favorite species is parrots, what is your least favorite parrot, for example?
He's going down for the
I'm still here. I'm still here. I'm just... Questions. I'm bad at questions. It's just...
How did you ever get through high school?
No. Don't set me under pressure, okay? Maybe, okay, I would say...
Under pressure. Pushing under down pressure, on ding, you. Ding, 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 pushing ding, down ding, on me. Ding, ding.
Okay. I would say the Kia.
Okay.
The what?
The Kia.
The Kia.
Yes.
Like the car?
No, actually, it's a...
Because I agree, they're a horrible car company, but I've never heard of a bird called a Kia.
Really?
Really.
Well, let me show you. I don't know. It's the Kia in English, yes. Let me show you. Kia?
So what makes you hate it so much?
It's the Kia.
I don't really hate parrots, but it's my least favorite.
The Kia, for listeners, is a large species of parrot of the family of something, and it's located in the South Island of New Zealand. So I'm not about to try and pronounce that, so look it up yourself if you really want to know. It's spelled K-E-A.
Of no relation
to Kia. Kia.
Problem. All right, birds, we have a challenge.
Okay.
Challenge is from the legendary Tressel. The challenge is this. Who can beep the fastest, loudest, and longest in the beep Olympics?
Well, my mom's in the house.
I can do the loudest.
What do you think, Feedy?
I can do the longest.
So that leaves you at fastest, Storm. Why don't you start us off? Beep as fast as you can.
Beep, 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 beep.
Relatively okay. I think you can do better. Try again.
Nah, that was pretty good.
Okay.
I do want to say, in terms of general meeting most of these categories, I would say Feedy. If we gave Feedy like a semi-truck worth of sugar,
he could probably do all three at the same time.
I think he would, you know, blast us all to high hell with his
fastest and longest at the same time. I don't know how that works, but yes. Okay, so Feedy. Yes, so yours is the longest. Try to beep as long as you can.
Okay.
Bonus points if you get over
the
a
challenge
minute.
Begins.
Beep. He's still going. He's just cutting out a little bit. And yes, I'm keeping this all in the end so everybody's going to hear it. He's running out of breath. He's about to explode. He's over 30 seconds in. About 30 seconds.
And that is... Wow.
Well, wow. High's a bit more difficult than low.
Wow.
Okay, and I'll try for loudest. Give me 1 second here. Okay. Okay, I have to be really quiet for this part because it's going to get really, really loud. As I'm setting up all my equipment to be as sensitive as possible. Are you ready?
Yes. That's in my headset.
Beep.
Oh my god.
Really? Really?
He never said how. I can use performance enhancing equipment.
Well, I was prepared. I took my headset off and felt the vibration.
I was expecting the walls to vibrate. Okay. Next question comes from Grape Drink. And the question is, where is the world...
Oh,
you meant where in the world is Carmen Burdego? I know Carmen Burdego can be found at your local
Burdiego.
Burdiego. Where in the world?
Where in the world is Carmen Burdiego?
Petco.
Should I know
aisle
it?
5 in the avian section, right below the bird poop remover.
Okay.
And this is the last question of the day. Comes from Adrian Legris. Question is, what is your second favorite category of birds?
So we've been asked what is our least favorite of our favorite species. Now we're asked what our second favorite
Falcons.
Category or species of birds is.
Falcons.
For me, it's going to be owls.
Owls are pretty up there. Yeah.
Owls are badass. I'm sorry. There's just something about them. They seem to be all-knowing. They seem to have this aura about them of being a badass. And, sorry, they're just badass. I love them.
I'm pretty sure owls are aliens, like just in disguise. Have you seen the way they behave? They're weird.
Yes. Yeah, they are unique. They
I'm
are
pretty
special.
Sure owls and octopi are aliens from other planets just observing us.
Planning is something bad for us. I bet they wanted to take over the world in 2012, but it failed, so they tried again in 2020. Be prepared. Build your bunkers.
Bats aren't a species of bird.
But they are welcome in our flock as long as they fill out the appropriate paperwork.
Exactly.
Okay.
Let's see. So, I think I've already established, like, toucan species is probably one of my favorite species. Second favorite species would actually probably be corvids, like, right within there. I just love the intelligence. They're smart. Smart.
Smart is a car brand.
Yes, it is.
Yes. A brand of very unreliable cars. Unless you get the electric version. That's true. So, I have now a copy of my speech that the computer corrupted and crashed last time.
Oh, okay.
I was wondering if you all were ready to hear it.
Of your own speech.
Yes.
Let's do it.
I promised a political hit piece. Well, I don't know if it's a hit piece, but I'm going to have a little sip of my wine. Okay.
No, I'm ready.
All right, here we go. Here we go. Members of the Bredanian High Council, flock and friend, I call this meeting today to discuss with you a most shocking find. There is a bird among us that is causing quite a stir. There's a bird among us that would rather nest inside of a tree than build a nest on one. There is a bird among us whose beaks are bent, allowing them to dig into the ground and find nice bugs to nom, whose wings are so beautiful they resemble a butterfly, whose mating dance involves not just preenings, but the male offering food. Members, there is a bird among us that wants to lead us today, who feels that their special attributes give them a unique perspective, whose intelligence is beyond reproach, with music so beautiful you never not want to approach. There is a bird among us that has the attributes of a falcon, yet the seemingly unmistakable special beauty of a hoopoe, whose heart reigns of integrity and whose feathers enjoy the sunshine. This bird is Regde, and I feel he is indeed a most special find and the ideal candidate to create the 2017 Bredanian clothing line.
Bredanian clothing line? Good lord. did we walk into like your studio?
Maybe. Well, I have an African drum here and this
I think that was the perfect ending to Regde's political hit piece. So you all should totally support him to make our clothing line.
I have no words.
Cor, would you vote to make the Bredanian clothing line Regde's position?
Fleeks does already kind of have a niche on that market as far as the shirts and everything go.
Oh, he can work with Fleeks. Fleeks handles propaganda in general.
Okay, fair enough. He has my vote then.
There we go. Unanimous support. Based on my calculations, that about wraps it up for this episode. From what I'm seeing, is there anything else?
There is actually one more thing. So last week, I attempted to give a tribute to Cairo Pika for making a pie amount of donation, 3.14. And I failed pretty miserably. So I want to try again. Now, this might be pretty cringy, so just hang in there, okay?
Well, mine was pretty cringy too, so.
Well, I can finally hear you live.
This is going to be cringy. I promise you, this is going to be cringy. Buckle up. On the day he was born, all the birds gathered round, and they gazed in wide wonder at the joy they had found. The head bird spoke up, said, "Leave this one alone." She could tell right away He was bad to the bone. Bad. 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 Bad to the bone.
Ooh. That was very cringeworthy, Cor. We are very proud of you.
Yay.
Anything else you would like to say at this time?
Well, I remember there was a thing last time. It was the Birds Take Over hashtag. And Fleek said you didn't finish it. Or came to it.
Right, because... yes. Okay, so you asked a question last week about how birds would take over the fandom. And we want to reserve that spot for you to answer live on air, because you actually answered it in chat better than any of us could have answered it. So take it away.
How will birds take over the world? What is the plan to spread Birdania over every continent? Well, we actually have a great arsenal of weapons. There's our Air Force with the Egg Bombers and the Griffin Jets. The Navy with the Circle aircraft carrier. Our ground forces with Spy Olds, Ninja Crows, Woodpecker Engineers, Griffin Tanks, Tactical Parrots, Peregrines as fast as light, Phoenixes which set the enemy's base on fire, and Secretaries which stamp the enemy. There's also a pink Griffin that's tracking them. We have a drunken general with a funny accent, what the heck? And a singing admiral who had a cup of coffee too much. And a general with the super brain who coordinates all the troops. We have sonic weapons, which can shoot with high-powered beeps and destroy the enemy's barriers. Fluff shields, feather bombs, big boomerangs, tailor knives, and we can blind the enemy with our colorful plumage. So it will be easy to conquer the world.
I like the idea of tactical parrots. I support
don't
that.
Forget about the ultimate weapon.
The ultimate weapon. The beeps.
The bird poop bombs.
I knew that was coming.
The poop bombers.
That's right. Never underestimate the power of poo.
All right.
Sadly, that Fleeks is not here this time.
No, he's not, but we replaced him with another German, so we're good.
Yes. Well, we've met our German ratio for the week. We're fine.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Fetty, thank you so much for joining us this week.
It was a pleasure.
Glad to have you on. And thank you for tuning in. You can catch us on Facebook, Twitter, Bird Life Podcast. You can also subscribe via iTunes, RSS feed, Google Play Music, all of the things.
That's a lot.
Yes, it is.
Don't forget to kiss a bird. We love it when you kiss the bird.
Oh, come here. Come here. I want to kiss you now.
Yes, kiss the bird. Kiss the bird. The bird loves kiss.
Yes, if you kiss the bird, what that is it donates $1 to us, and that helps us keep the server alive. You know, if you enjoyed an episode, just consider kissing the bird. We're only asking $1 at a time because it's like, that would, as long as we're providing quality entertainment for you, that's kind of like, you know, a token of appreciation back, lets us know that you enjoy what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you send in 3.14 or more, we may do something special. May. You never know.
But safe for work, huh?
Possibly safe for work, generally. Possibly not safe for work. Generally pretty cringy. So.
Yes.
All right. Thank you. And always be beeping.
Thank you for listening to this episode.
Always be beeping. I call this meeting today to discuss... Okay, we're going to wait
for the phone call
to stop ringing. Yes.